So let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we can come as little children. Not with worry, Lord, but with excitement and anticipation. To know that you will hear us. But Lord, not only hear us, Father, but you love us enough to respond. To direct us. And to speak to our hearts. And that's what we're here for. That we might know you more. So Father, I just pray that you would open up our eyes. That we might see you more clearly. And increase our faith that we might be able to walk with you even more. And rest in who you are. We just thank you in Jesus' name. So I wrote a couple questions down. Is anybody, if you can, a couple times you're going to have to raise your hand here today. So is anybody in here discouraged in your walk? It's a place to be honest with one another. Or just in life in general. Is this world or your days here on earth feel like you're getting beat down? Do you have it? Carol's just going, can you hold her arm up for Judy? I think she's going to be there for a while. Well, Colossians 1:24, let's just read it. It says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. That's it. Paul is in a place. Where is Paul here? Is everybody know? Colossians?
Prison.
He's in prison. Everybody else going to be able to be like Paul if you're in prison? Say, I rejoice. You see, we see Paul's going through a trial, a time where he's being locked up, but he can come to a place and say, I rejoice. And I think with the way our world is right now, with the indecisions and the... Well, let's just face it. We live in a crazy world. Right? It's falling farther and farther away from the Lord in many ways. And so how do we live? How do we enjoy this life? Through the struggles, through the trials, and persecution. I thought if we'd look at some of these verses that maybe not just realize, oh, I'm getting promised sufferings, but the answer. How to get past from day to day existing to get to a place where you're enjoying and resting in the Lord. And somehow that we can receive that peace that passes all understanding and that we can enjoy the fellowship of his sufferings. How does all that work? Because it feels like it's just constant, like being beaten down every day. At least that's how I feel. You have an hour or so of fellowship. We encourage one another. We build one another up. And then it seems like, you know, the rest of the week's being beat up, beat down. It's what the world has to offer. So Paul says, I rejoice. I now rejoice. And it's kind of interesting he says now because it seems like maybe there was a moment when he wasn't. Right? And it doesn't seem like we have a life. We are called to rejoice in all things. Right? And be thankful for everything. We're even told that's God's will for our lives. So how do we get past the struggle to the rejoicing? I think we have some, just in some of Paul's words, I just wanted to share, and hopefully it helps you. It gives me peace. And you know how Paul taught that you can't go beyond what you've learned? Today's going to be a lesson that I'm teaching based on failure. Because I know I failed. And I'm hoping that through failure and coming together that we can encourage one another so we fail less. And we start to experience more victory in our lives day by day. So by the show of hands, I actually had to type this out because I don't forget.
How many of you in here, when they came to Jesus, prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done"? Did anybody pray that when they got saved or after they got saved? Did they ever come to a place in your walk with the Lord here, came and said, "Not my will, but yours be done"? Show a hand. Anybody? Nobody? Anybody come to a place where you've come and said, "Lord, I'm not my own. You bought me with your blood"? Okay. So are you surprised today, and maybe some of the things that we go through, to find out He took you serious? The Lord took you serious when you said, "Lord, here I am. Use me however you choose." I know most of you, and I know you've prayed that. We've talked, you know, in different times. You might sometimes regret you said it, or might not understand what's happening in life. But the Lord is answering your prayer. You might not have been serious, but He is. So, Paul says, "I rejoice in my sufferings for you all." And this is, "I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church." So there's a couple of things that we look at and learn in here. So we've all prayed, "Lord, I'm yours. Do what you want." Now we're stuck with Him working that out. But He wants us to have joy and not just exist. He wants us to have His peace in the midst of the problems. So there's two things Paul says that he realizes as he's starting to write these other believers, that God put him in a place in prison. Not quite the same prisons that we have today. Prisons back then were based on your citizenship. You got better. Actually, if you were not a Roman citizen, you weren't guaranteed food every day. Paul's citizenship gave him at least a meal a day. We also know that he was in a house, so he wasn't. So when you're higher up, and depending on your privilege and your money, would depend on your. You could be in a dungeon, dealing with the elements of day-to-day life, or you could have a rented house. It all depended. It depended on where you were in your standing for court. But Paul's in a place where he's in prison. It says we're told that he's chained. There's people chained to him, watching him all the time. And he can come to a place in his life where he can realize to say some things that I think many times we have a hard time with, and that is, "I rejoice in my sufferings." We live in a world today that we feel many times that we shouldn't suffer. That if we do things right and we live the right way, that we shouldn't have problems. We shouldn't have people upset with us. We should have, at least that's why, you know, you think you do the right things, things are going to go right. Well, Paul's saying, "Look, I'm in a place where I'm rejoicing, but I know why I'm suffering." He's saying that he can fill up in his flesh what is lacking, the afflictions of Christ. So, we also, in Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11, I wanted to read that too, because it kind of talks a little bit about Paul going through his desire to know the Lord, but we get a little bit of it too, because he says that in Philippians 3:10, he says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, by any means I might attain the resurrection from the dead." You see, so Paul understood that he was lacking what? What is Paul lacking? What does he realize in his life that he's lacking from those verses? The afflictions of Christ. The sufferings of Christ, right? He realized that in his life there was something going on, that him being in prison was teaching him something. There was something of Christ that he was learning. Not how to deal with, but who to deal with it through. and maybe what's the byproduct of it.
When we go through trials and things happen or in tribulation, what's our first assumption?
When something bad happens to you during the day, what's your first assumption? That's a question.
What did I do wrong?
Yep. Right? Isn't our first thought, okay, why did this happen to me? What did I do? It's not, oh boy, I'm so glad and happy I'm getting the sufferings of Christ today. Is that your first thought? No. It's, what did I do wrong? What did I do to deserve this? Most of our life is figuring that the way things come through and are filtered to us are based on our own actions. I don't believe that that's always the case. I think God has a bigger picture, a bigger plan. Jesus was our example when he is our example, but he was our example when he lived here. And so I wanted to look at, I think when you think of the afflictions of Christ or suffering the sufferings of Christ, what are some of the first, what are the things that come to your mind? What are some of his afflictions or sufferings? You weren't supposed to go there first.
No.
No. That's right. What's some other things? And that's a big one. Anybody ever feel misunderstood for just believing what you believe?
Wrongly accused.
Wrongly accused.
Betrayal.
Keep going. There's a long list. The cross. I thought that was going to be the first answer.
Well, we really put value in our homes and he didn't really have a roof over his head.
True. When you said being misunderstood, Jesus constantly said, even like Mark 21, how is it that you do not understand? That's his friends. That's his followers. In this room, you ever talk to somebody and they look at you like they don't understand? So, we're misunderstood. Anything else?
Was Philip that he said, you've been with me such a long time, you
still don't know
him?
Right. Anybody, anything else? What about misunderstanding your intentions or who's leading you? Ever been there? Jesus was when he healed the demon-possessed. The Pharisees heard and they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except from Beelzebub, the rulers of the demons. So they didn't even know where he was coming from, or where his power was coming from, or his leading. So just his everyday life, when he was healing people, they didn't understand. They actually were accusing him of being empowered by the devil. You know, we go through this sometimes, that sharing the love of Christ with people makes them look at you that you're worse than anyone else on this earth. You see, we have these struggles and these natural problems. Anything else? How about nobody wanting to hang out with you? Missing fellowship for the things you believe? Jesus did. Because when he entered into Jerusalem, what did he say? Oh, how I wanted to gather you. But you wouldn't come.
Well, he also, he felt the envy of people and hated without a cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to point some... I wanted to just point some of these things out because a lot of times I think we just look at, like, he went to the cross and that whole night before heading to the cross, the beatings and all that and being spit on and all that stuff. But there's a lot of things that Jesus went through that he suffered on this earth.
That was kind of a culmination of suffering.
Yeah, that was like the big deal at the end. But, like, just can you imagine walking every day, like, knowing more than everybody? Being nicer to everybody, being able to have the love of God to flow through your life, and constantly being misunderstood, beaten down, accused, wrongly accused? I think Paul wants us to deal with some of these things because this is part of the Christian life. But I think we act surprised when we start walking in the love and the fact that the light, the, what he wants to do through us. We get beat up and beat down when we forget what's going on. Anybody been there? Day-to-day trials. Frustration. So how should we respond? How do we respond? Here's a question. Do you feel like the only reason why you're here is to exist? Do you feel like you're supposed to be in a place where you're beat up every day, wore down, and have nothing? Is that where you feel, is that what the Lord has for us? Or does He have more? Is there a way to get to the peace that passes all understanding? Or the joy, well, we know the joy that was set before Him, but He is our joy. And so I wanted to start looking at some of the things Paul said, and I'm hoping for myself that it will help us to walk in the realities rather than our feelings. To try to get to a place where we're walking by faith and not by feelings. Okay?
Jesus said to be of good cheer.
Why did He say that? Because I have overcome the world. Do you want to live a life of overcoming, a life of victory, a life of joy and peace?
Hide yourself in Him.
That's the answer. You guys ready? That's the, I mean, it doesn't get any harder than that. But what I do want you to see is there's more sufferings and things that I think that, you know, they were called Christians, right? Why? It means little Christ. Because there's things that were happening in their lives and the way they were living that they could see Christ living through them in the world. They called them Christians. And I believe that if we get to a place that they will be able to see our joy and they will be able to see that we have peace if we learn to rest. Because James tells us, my brethren, to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let your patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Is that where everybody wants to be? In a place where they're perfect, complete, lacking nothing. If not, something's wrong. But, so, I wanted to back up the one thing. You know, when something happens to us, the first reaction is, what did I do? There's nothing wrong with that. Scripture says, what you sow, you will reap. So, there is a thing like, okay, Lord, show me. Is there any wicked way in me? First off, if that happens, ask the Lord. Is this for just me being me? Am I suffering for me being me? Or is there something more? If He doesn't reveal sin in your life, I suggest that you move on and start falling like, okay, maybe this is just part of those afflictions. Or maybe these are some of those sufferings that Christ entered into that I might be an experience. I tell you this is because we all look for fruit, don't we? Not that we're supposed to inspect our fruit, but we desire to have fruit come from our lives. Well, being part of living a life with Christ is suffering. With the sufferings of Christ. Which means you might be misunderstood. You might be lied about. How do I deal with this? On one end, remember, if it's not for sin, for just basically I deserve what I deserve, then it's a lesson. And it's a life that the Lord's trying to work in you to work through you, and to, more importantly, to reveal himself to you that you're his child. First off, if you're being corrected for sin, take joy. Because what are we told about one who is being corrected in Hebrews? What does it say?
It's evidence that God loves you.
Right? Rose?
Discipline. I think the verse you're referring to is discipline is never pleasant at the time, but painful, but it produces a harvest of righteousness for those that have been trained by
God. Right. And what'd you say?
I said it's evidence that God loves you.
Whom he loves, he chastens. Whom he doesn't love, he's going to let you go. Right? So there is a point that we want to check ourselves. But I don't think that we need to be at a place where we're constantly looking inward and constantly struggling with, what am I doing wrong? Everything's happening because of what my choice is. No. Paul says, I am filling up the afflictions of Christ for you. That means sometimes the suffering that we go through is for the body. Sometimes it's for, we don't even know why. You may never know why. Sometimes it's just so that the character of Christ can come forth from your life so that you're able to minister to others. Right? To be able to comfort those in the comfort with which we have received. So yes, we live in a harsh world. We live in a fallen world, in a world that wants to tear you down. And most importantly, the enemy wants to get your eyes off the Lord and focused on your circumstances. And I don't think that's the Lord's intention for us. So what do we do? How do we go from existing to rejoicing? What are some things that we learn in the Word and from Paul, from the Lord, to counteract or to work, to build up our faith so that we know how to walk?
There's comfort in recognizing that we're suffering something that is like the suffering of Christ, or like our brothers in the Lord, like Paul did, David did, Moses, I mean, you know, just doing what God's will, because you love God. There's spiritual warfare, and so sometimes people hate you and they don't know why they hate you. I think it's spiritual. But then there's comfort in saying that, oh yeah, when you realize Jesus, you know, you have, there's a comfort in that, I found.
Yep. So what's the answer? Right? Okay, I want to give it simply to you, because Paul says it right after he talks about it earlier in Philippians. He says, I press on. Right? The things that are happening, whatever, I press on. Not just to get through, not to have any, he has a focus. And his focus is that I may lay a hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of me. Paul has an intent. I don't just exist. I'm going to lay hold of Jesus. Which is what Kent said earlier, is the answer. Right? He's the answer. I need to lay a hold of Jesus. But for that which Christ laid hold of me. Why did Jesus lay a hold of Paul? Because it's the same for us. Why did he lay a hold of us? Anyone?
Glorify himself through Paul's life. And to glorify himself through all of our life.
Okay. Look, how you see these verses and what you believe in them, you're going to walk in. Right? So, what does he lay a hold of you for? okay? Keep going. I'm sorry? Yep. Why has Jesus laid a hold of you? I mean, ultimately, it is love. Because he wants to know him. Why do we enter any relationship? To know the person more. Right? So you've been put here to know him. Part of knowing him is learning his character by walking through some of the same things he went through. Following in his footsteps. So how do we enter into, how do we do that? How do you do that? How do you enter into and grab a hold of all that what Jesus has grabbed a hold of you for?
By faith.
By faith. Like Paul said, not that I speak in regard, this is Philippians 4:11 through 13, that I've learned. And see, this is important. Paul didn't say, I knew it. I was born with all this gifting. He says, I've learned. What did he learn? Whatever state I am in. To be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what part did Paul learn? How to abase and to abound? Or did he learn how to succeed? Did he learn how to walk?
Learn how to overcome.
Correct. To overcome. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? So if I'm supposed to have a life of joy, walking with peace, not feeling beat down, wore down by this world, it's Christ who has to strengthen me. Right? I can do all things. I can walk in the peace of God and the joy of the Lord. Have. Through Christ who strengthens me. Christ living in me to will and to do for his good pleasure. So I want to present to you something today that I hope you don't throw anything at me for. But I think a lot of times the things that we struggle with is because we're not allowing ourselves to be open to suffer the sufferings of Christ or to walk in the afflictions of Christ. Paul said he was lacking in them. But because he knew that if he could understand these afflictions, guess what? He would be able to know the Lord more. And walking through them and how he reacts with them, the world can see Christ through him more. Look, if all of us were given, we all went out and won the lottery today, you're not going to have needs that you're going to cry out and draw your strength from the Lord on. The psalmist said that, or in Proverbs, he says, make me not too rich that I forget you or poor that I steal. Keep me in a place dependent. That I'm needing to know that I hear from you. So my thing I want to present to you today is to ask you to consider what was said in Deuteronomy. Chapter 11, verse 26 to 28. It's the reading of the law. But before that, it said, it says, behold. Right? Behold means to grab hold of, right? Pay attention. This is the Lord. I set before you today blessings and curses. simple. The blessings, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, of which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey. I point this out because I have come, what the Lord was showing me through when I read Paul was, I believe every circumstance in our lives has been filtered through the loving hands of God. There's no circumstance that you're going through. There's no ailment. There's no pain. There's no sorrow, no frustration that none of us have, are going through or know that have not been brought to you by a God who loves you. And it's been put before you as a gift, as a blessing or a curse. You see, I could win $1 million today. It could be a blessing or it could be a curse. I could have no food today. It could be a blessing. It could be a curse. Everything that you experience moment by moment, day by day, from that just put in front of you, is being set before you as a blessing or a curse. I believe it's what you do with what's set before you, is all I'm saying. Do I believe that a loving God has allowed my day to play out the way it is in front of me? That's all I'm saying. And how do I react? Am I going to use it as a blessing? Or am I going to live in a way that it becomes a curse? I said I could teach today because of failure. And many days did I walk away that I felt like the whole day was a curse. And I have not seen the loving hands of God that filtered through it that I could see it as a blessing. I'm walking by sight and not by faith. And when I do that, I get ripped off and most people around me get angry because I'm angry. I have a very easy ability to make people mad. It's true. We all have that wonderful ability, don't we? It's a lot easier to make them mad than happy. But I think a lot of times when we kind of look at this Christian life and we have misconceptions and we think, I'm going to give my life to Jesus and my life's going to be perfect here. Nothing's going to go wrong. Nothing's going to happen. It's not His plan. There's things that happen for reasons. Not only because of your mistakes, it could be that the Lord wants to use your life to be a visual so that people can see Jesus so that they can grow and enjoy. So He says, I sent today before you. I have it in here somewhere. Yeah, here it is. James 1:17. Every good, perfect gift comes from above. Or is from above, sorry, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And so what I've been trying to present to you is to maybe when you wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for this good and perfect gift. Why? How do I start my day? I have breath. That's from you. Because it tells us that He holds our very breath in His hands. You see, when we mix Scripture by faith into our lives, we can rejoice. Thank you, Lord, I have this day. Don't get into later, right now. You have the opportunity to experience the peace that passes all understanding. To rejoice. And that's why we're told to rejoice with those who rejoice and comfort those who are mourning. Because we all go through it. Today, right? Actually, I want to read this one first. John 16. Nope, that's not it. Well, Jesus tells us that to just worry about today, right? Why? Or He says not to worry about today has enough troubles of His own. We can all say yes and amen to that, right? We know throughout the day there's enough trouble. I think the Lord wants us to enjoy the moment. Enjoy him right then and there, because you're not guaranteed another one. At any moment, he can open his hands and we all could be done. I know that we'd all be thankful and grateful. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But in Hebrews, he says today, after such a long time. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it feels like a long time. Today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. This does not say today if God speaks. This says today if you will hear. What that means is every day God is speaking, will you hear what he's telling you today? He wants to speak to you. He wants to encourage you. He doesn't want to leave you as orphans. He says, I am with you always. So when we go, we need to go and rely on my own strength? No. It's his strength. How do we do all these things? What does it do? You know, these things, John says, I've spoken to you that in me, this is Jesus speaking, you may have peace. Here's the other promise. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Thank God he didn't stop there. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 John, we talked about it. What is for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, right? Our faith. He who overcomes the world, who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How do we enjoy victory? How do I enjoy peace? Day by day, moment by moment, how do I walk in the joy of the Lord? Faith.
This reminds me of what you're saying, contentment. And, you know, we're thankful, but I think everyone generally has, like, this one thing. Like, God, you would just, it's that contentment, even that one thing. Because when you're a young Christian, I don't know if anyone else can relate to it, you're a young Christian, it seems like God is doing all kinds of amazing things, like, almost instantly. And then you get older, and you're like, where are you, Lord? You know, and sometimes that prayer is going to be answered for years. And you want to be thankful and contentment. And that, and I guess you're not going to have peace if you're not, you know, find contentment while you're waiting.
It's not easy, but Paul says to do all things with what? Do all things with?
Without grumbling and complaining, or without
not? That's part of it.
Joy.
It's that simple. It just says do it. But we know we can't unless we trust. Unless we rely. And it's not easy. That's the thing, is that's why he doesn't leave us alone. And when there's a moment he says, today if you'll hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Right? Surrender, submit, enjoy. Seek him to hear. Lord, open up my ears. I think Job mentioned that verse in Isaiah, that he opened my ears in the morning. It woke me in the morning. I think the Lord wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to reveal himself. You know, like, because Paul had this, like, I'm going through these things for the body. He, in Colossians later, at the end, he tells us to walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, right? Redeeming the time. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. 1 Peter, when things are coming together, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Jesus John 15:4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You see, it's all bringing us back to Him. I don't leave you as orphans. I'm here with you. Jesus is here right now. We just learned last week He's in the midst of the church and He's got us in His hands. And I don't think He wants bummed out Christians. I think He wants people that are walking, leaning, in love with Him and enjoying the fellowship that they have with Him, that when the world around them sees what's going on, they can want to know. And a lot of times that means your life has to be falling apart. Yay. But no, it is a good thing. Because you know He's working. And that relationship's there. And life is coming forth. Remember Jesus, when I talked about with people, just didn't want fellowship. And we're promised that Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. You're laboring or heavy laden. Is anybody in here that labor? Where do you guys work? My job's a laborer, so I don't know. Kent, you work a lot of labor, right?
I guess. They say if you love what you're doing, you don't work a day in your life.
I work a lot.
Still trying to figure that one out.
I'm not trying to, just throw it out there that it's not. This is important. Because I know, for me personally, that you go through the days, you feel like you're misunderstood. You're like, well, why don't you just want to do it the right way? Because we've always done it this way. It's wrong, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You can't imagine and understand people not wanting to follow through and do things. But we ourselves do it. But Jesus says, look, if you will trust me, if you will rely, when circumstances, the gifts are coming, you know, the person yelling at you, thanks, Lord. Person cuts you off. These things happen so that you can see whether you're allowing Christ to live through you or you can get frustrated on your own, you know, on these things. So there are opportunities to see how the Lord's working by faith that you're walking and trusting Him. But look, He says, come to me. And He promises that He'll give you rest. So if you're in a place where you feel beat down, you're wore out, and you need rest, Jesus says, come. And He also tells us, if anyone comes to Him, he'll by no means cast him out, right? So we know that He wants us to enter in and enjoy the fellowship with Him. So we're to seek first. Oh, it was Matt had it in here. Never mind. But Proverbs 3, a lot of these verses I quote all the time because, and I think the Lord's kind of bringing them together. But if I can just sit back and say, okay, this is a gift from you, God. Help me to deal with it. We quote these verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will say, too bad. No, He will direct your path. Why? He wants you to seek Him so He can lead you. He wants it to be a relationship. He doesn't want us just to exist. He wants us to overcome. And we overcome by faith. We overcome by trusting and walking with Him. And realizing, hey, I don't have the answer. Lord, you know how I feel right now. Calm me down. Help me see the gift. Help me to slow down. I do believe that's why it's in the Psalms, Selah, to pause, to meditate. We're told in Corinthians to hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, you have to give yourself a chance to think before you respond. So you need to pause. You need to meditate. And when you seek the Lord, He's going to lead you. It might be, zip it. Before you blow. It might be, speak. Whatever the Lord has. But I do believe the Lord wants us to be more than just existing and feeling beat down and beat up all the time. And He wants us to have life. He's come to give life, and that more abundantly. And I think the way we experience it, the way Paul came to a place, remember, he said he learned these things. What was the one that if you were trained by them, right? So, take the lessons. Allow the Lord to train you. But more importantly, allow Him to reveal Himself to you. To open up, to show, to rest. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Who here has stuff to do tomorrow and have a list of what they got to get done? Jesus says today has enough worries of their own. And you're not guaranteed. So walk with Him, enjoy Him today, and allow the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, to guard and rule your heart. I don't know if this meant anything to you, but when it came to my mind, it was like, you mean that if I could just rest that the things that happened before me are a gift from God? And I learned to take that, what I see, because we're not supposed to walk by sight, but all we can do is see and say, Lord, I don't know. Will You lead me? Will You show me? I need Your peace. They don't need to see my flesh. They need to see Your love. And I guarantee that as we see Christ walking with Him and working through us and around us in the world, you're going to have joy. Because you know what it was like when He worked in your life. And through your life. And it's fun to see Jesus working because you know the relationships there. It doesn't minimize. He's not saying, no, you're not going through. This is all fake. It's all imagined. Life's real. And it really stinks. But one of the things I believe that the life that this earth is like this for is because He wants us to be looking for the blessed hope. This earth is not ours. This life is for a moment. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, help us while we're here to learn to abide, to be godliness with contentment is great gain. Can I be content in my circumstances while the Lord works out whatever He wants to do? I can't do that on my own. And neither can you. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And for Christ to strengthen you, you need to abide. You need to rest and walk with Him and know that you're loved. You're accepted. See, in the sufferings, the world may not accept you, but Jesus says, you're accepted. In the beloved. You see, we have to know by faith what He tells us so that when the world around us tries to rip us off, we can hold on to His Word and hold on to Him. Any thoughts? What?
Amen.
The Lord wants to do something awesome. Continue to do something awesome. In you, and through you, and through all of us together. And if we seek Him together, I think He'll show us. Until then, we continue to learn and enjoy and abide. Any other thoughts? Yes, sir.
I appreciate what you're sharing from Colossians. I like this. When Jesus said to remember something, I have a verse I'd like to read. Jesus said, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep your word also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. And this is a really power-packed passage of Scripture, but I like what Jesus said, remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when you're going through these sufferings, it's really neat the way you tie that together with day-to-day life, because if it's because of righteousness' sake, there will be suffering, and sometimes we're like, why is that gone? You know, this all, you know. And Jesus is like, remember. But he started out, he said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. What a wonderful promise of Christ to us.
Yeah.
I chose you out of the world, now the world hates you. That's what you get. When you're chosen by Christ, the world automatically hates you. Because the world loves its own.
Look, and I'm not saying in a lot of ways we're our own problem. We're our biggest problem most of the time because
he
said
I think it's important not to take the power out of us by putting the emphasis
right.
on what we do wrong, but put it on what Christ said.
Yeah, and I don't think most of the time we read it.
You see what I'm saying? There's stuff.
Yeah.
If you can take the power out of us really quick by saying, well, you know, the way you act, no wonder the world's doing that to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't mean that.
Look at the people that hate you just because you're a Christian. That's what Jesus is saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, though?
Mm-hmm.
Like, by faith, we understand when it starts to happen.
Yeah.
Why does that person hate me so bad? It's a spiritual battle.
And part of my reason for doing this is because I think we forget. We're not remembering that we should be hating.
Why was Paul
we will be hating,
not
should be. Because he was a nice guy.
No, I mean, what did he do wrong?
Yeah. Why was Jesus murdered? What did he do wrong?
He did everything like he allowed Christ to live through and he set an example of what it meant. Like, the ascended Christ returned in the power of the Holy Spirit and filled him as a believer. That's why he was in jail.
Right. Exactly. Things can go wrong when you do right. Will go wrong. That's his promise that they will go wrong when you're living right. Right?
Yeah.
But I think I wanted to bring it out because I do believe a lot of times we forget it.
Yeah.
And we're like, why am I, don't anybody understand me? We got election coming up. Don't they really get this? No, they don't. They're not going to. We don't. That's why we need to seek him so he leads us. That's all. I don't know. Well, I hope it helped. Enjoy the Lord.